Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
All right. Hi, this is Dr. J. Sordian, and this is Natural Solutions with Dr. J, our podcast that we try to do it every week, and we bring great guests on to talk about natural solutions. And today we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's and the exciting work that Tierney Henderson and Marie Balfour are doing at University of California in Berkeley to help raise awareness among college students as well as raise funds for some of the organizations in Berkeley. So with that, I know that I attended at Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay ASAP fundraiser that was in, was it February?
It was in March.
March. It wasn't that long ago.
No, not too long.
And so Tierney and another member of her group, which is called Active for Alzheimer's, were up on stage as part of the presentation and at this large fundraiser. And I was very taken by her personal story. And so I went up afterwards and asked her if she would come on the podcast to help share and to publicize what the great work that your organizations are doing.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for coming in.
So our club is called Active for Alzheimer's at Berkeley, and it's part of a greater national organization called the Youth Movement Against Alzheimer's that tries to connect young people, especially undergraduate students in college, with opportunities to connect more with Alzheimer's disease through fundraising. So we put on that fundraiser with...
Oh, that was your fundraiser?
We put it on conjointly with Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay.
And you approached them to do it?
This was our second year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we raised over $10,000 this year.
Fantastic. Well done.
Thank you.
High five there.
So that was to benefit ASAP, and we also do other things with them, like we volunteer at their care facility.
You both do? And everyone in the group? How many are in your group?
We have about 20.
20?
Yeah, 20 active members.
Wow.
It's our first year as a real club. So we're hoping to expand more in the upcoming years.
So this is one of the official clubs or student organizations as part of the whole Cal campus?
Yeah, we're an official student organization and club on campus, recognized by the university.
Oh, all right. And so it's just the second year?
Yes.
Great. So go ahead. So you've gone in, and so you as club members also go to ASAP. And you volunteer?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do you do? You do group activities with people?
Group. Yeah. So ASAP takes volunteers. Either you can go in on your own, and I think you do, 2 hours a week of just individual service, or you can come in as an organization with a group and do some sort of activity. So crafts or music or whatnot.
So you come in as a group or individuals or both?
As a group.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
great. So you were mentioning me and Anna gave a little speech at the event to ask, to do sort of a special ask for this program that we're starting this semester to try and get more young people involved in Alzheimer's research. And that's sort of been our main focus as the semester is coming to a close, is starting this scholarship program.
So you have a personal story about Alzheimer's, and that's part of the reason why you're motivated to do this?
Yes. So my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's early onset when he was, he just turned 50. And it sort of took us all aback.
Of course.
Because I had seen my grandma, his mom, go through Alzheimer's. She's in the late stages now, and her two siblings both also have Alzheimer's, and I just never...
And that's all there's three...
Three siblings.
Three siblings, and they all have
Alzheimer's. Yeah, so very, very genetic in that line of my family. But we never, my dad was never the most outspoken person, and when he started getting quieter and being more forgetful, we kind of associated it more with, maybe he's stressed out, like he was starting a new business, and... we just thought that maybe something else was going on, or it was just normal. You know, those, I think the first couple of years of Alzheimer's are really tough because you feel frustrated with the person and you kind of end up losing those years when, you know, they have, you know, a higher level of cognition because you sort of, you know, blame them instead of understanding that they can't help what's going on, mm-hmm. you know?
That's such a key point you're making here for everyone in the listening audience as well as the viewing audience.
Right. And you know, I think people, especially young people, they really associate Alzheimer's with, you know, old people. So they see their grandparents going through it. They see older people kind of, you know, fading away. You get dementia at the end of your life and it's natural. And, you know, then, it, you know, it's just signifying old age. And that's not always how it is. My dad got it when he was 50, and that's really young, but there are definitely a lot of other people that get it in their 60s or in years when they could potentially have like 10, 15 more years of, you know, cognitive health. So, yeah, I think there's just sort of some sort of cognitive dissonance or some sort of misunderstanding about what Alzheimer's actually is as a disease, which is maybe why there aren't a ton of young people that are super motivated to get out there and try and find a cure at this age.
Yeah, certainly the point that you make about the 10 or 15 years or whatever, the Alzheimer's Association for many years has been saying that it is typical for a 20-year process of development of, you know, until you get more severe symptoms of Alzheimer's. So it is a progressive illness. Mm-hmm. And those key initial period when you are noticing symptoms, they may be totally misinterpreted because it's sort of the person's personality. Maybe they're a little more introverted. They don't share so much. And one of the key things, which I also talk about my two books, one's Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, and the other's Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic. And I have both the 10 primary signs of Alzheimer's in there, as well as some other surveys that help people early on start to judge what's going on, whether it has to do with emotions, whether it has to do with the exposures to chemicals in the environment, which are key factors in neurodegeneration, breakdown of the nervous system. Yeah. But so that's, and your dad is, what's up now with him?
He is at, I think he's stage 6 right now out of 7. He's living in a care facility in Marin County.
Oh, that's so sad.
And he still recognizes me, I think, most of the time when I go there, but he can't really, you know, he can't really talk or communicate very well. But sometimes we have, you know, moments of connection, especially over sharing music, or I'll share music with him or photos. And there's definitely some special moments to be had with him still. But, yeah.
How often do you go visit?
Like once every couple weeks, usually. Luckily, we have a lot of family in the Bay Area, so he has a lot of visitors. Hmm. My mom goes over there a lot.
Yeah, it must be difficult for you.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy. I think that we didn't really realize when he got diagnosed how intensive the care is. You know, really, when you start, you know, at the beginning, he could kind of do things on his own. He could bike, you know, to the gym, or, you know, he lost his driver's license, or, you know, go out and for walks and stuff. And then he sort of started staying home more on his own. But once you get to be more progressed, you need someone with you 24/7. You know, you need someone that, you know, wakes you up in the morning and gets you ready for the day and takes you to do everything. Like, you can't, you stop being able to feed yourself and, you know, take care of yourself. And it's a very, very physical care process. Like, very physical and very time intensive, especially when the person you're caring for isn't always super aware of what's going on. So it's a lot easier for them to get frustrated or confused about what's mm-hmm. happening and who's trying to help them. And, you know, It's a very emotional and very physically exhausting type of care.
So you obviously you're doing this kind of work because you think that others should know about this.
Yeah, well, obviously, I've just fell into this club last year. We started this club. I didn't start it. A group of three seniors last year started it. And Ray and I were both there as part of the first team that put on a Hilarity for Charity event with ASAP. Oh. But all the proceeds.
You were both comedians at it?
Oh, no. I'm not. Yeah, you can probably tell from the podcast, I'm not like a big jokester. But
you're serious.
Yeah, I'm more serious, I guess. So we were both, putting on this event, and it was for the Alzheimer's Association. It was a great cause. And I invited some of my friends to come. And afterwards, I heard, from my roommate that one of my friends who was there had said, I don't understand why we're raising money for Alzheimer's. Isn't it just, if it's just something that naturally happens to older people when they're dying, And that was the first time that I realized how much young people don't really understand why we need to be working to cure Alzheimer's. I think that people know that Alzheimer's is, the sixth largest cause of death in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and the only one.
I don't think people know it. It's a real statistic and people should know it. And, you and I and other people are trying to publicize that, but I don't think people really know that.
Yeah, there's some sort of weird, it's either a stigma or something around Alzheimer's, especially in younger people. So that was when I started realizing that there are so many reasons why young people, I sort of took it as my dad has Alzheimer's and he's 50 and, that's a reason to be curing it. But then I started thinking about it and I was this is actually a huge cost to the nation right now. I think it's estimated to be $1.1 trillion by 2050, if one in five Medicare and Medicaid dollars right now go to Alzheimer's care. And it's supposed to be one in three as the baby boomer generation sort of reaches that age.
Well, certainly one in three people dies with dementia. It's not, but 75% of dementia is Alzheimer's, so that is a huge statistic.
Right. And so I was, I was kind of thinking that's a huge reason why young people should be researching, trying to cure Alzheimer's disease, because it's going to affect us, whether it's going... whether, we're going to get it or we're going to be paying for it.
Mm-hmm. Or be taking care of your friends or other people. Right. Yeah. That's right.
And then to go off that, too, I'm an integrative biology major at Berkeley. And there's kind of a culture around Alzheimer's where a lot of people that are hard-hitting science majors, they kind of just, fall into Alzheimer's research. They're going into big things like cancer or, kind of bigger name stuff that isn't tied to aging. And when it's tied to aging, as Tierney said, people don't see it as affecting as many people as it does. It's affecting 5 million people in our country right now. By 2050, it's supposed to be 16 million. And so there needs to be young people, especially people who are in the field working towards finding a cure, so we don't have 16 million people very, very soon with this disease.
So you're in integrative biology?
Yes.
And so is that a component? Is that being talked about in the classes?
It's definitely mentioned. I think it's just because of the kind of stigma around Alzheimer's and it just that it's tied as, it's more of a, it comes with age, it's a natural aging process kind of thing. I don't think it's as stressed as it needs to be. I don't think there's as much of a focus on it. And I think there should be because, as Tierney said, the Medicare and Medicaid dollars are going towards it. I think right now there's for every $2,600 going towards care, there's $1 going towards research. Mm. And that difference is just absolutely insane to me.
Right.
But I think there needs to be more of a push to work towards finding a cure than to just be caring for the patients that have it now.
Yeah. So... the Alzheimer's Association has stated that it's a multifaceted problem, that the causes are more complex than just, I've been saying on television when I'm on the air, there's no silver bullet.
Right.
Really. And there are a lot of different factors. And one of those factors that I think, the individuals, and the medical profession is not focused as much on toxicity and chemical toxicity and environmental impact on the nervous system and how it causes neurodegeneration as needs to be, because I think that's a key, one of the key components mm-hmm. of the development of Alzheimer's. Not for everyone, but it, those chemicals affect everyone. It's going to affect your health in some fashion, and it certainly will affect the brain cells as well as other cells in the body. And so you were talking about an environmental health program that you're...
Yeah, I'm an environmental econ major, and I'm taking an elective this semester called environmental health and development. And it, are you know, the first half of the course, we had a couple weeks focused on chemicals, and it blew me away just because it made me think so much about everything I'm putting in my body all the time, you know, from what I'm eating, when I go to the grocery store, to, you know, what's in my house, to what products I'm using to clean my kitchen, you know, whatnot. And I was doing some research for a paper that I had to research paper that I had to write. And I was just researching, you know, effects of a certain few chemicals, and I don't remember exactly which one I was looking at when I was reading about Alzheimer's, and it was saying, you know, there's these chemicals that cause, that are you know, like lead, whatnot, that are linked to like neurological problems or like lowering.
And that's not something we've known that for a long time, which is right. Why lead was taken out of gasoline, why it's taken out of paint,
water.
Why, you know, they say, oh, well, don't have your kids play and eat dirt around a house that's older than like 70s or 80s, because there's probably paint that's coming off the, peeled off and right. gone in the soil. So yeah.
Right. Especially when it's mixed component. With other chemicals like mm. mercury. And
that's true. There's a potentiation that occurs. Actually, what was that? I read something. Oh, I know. It's the mercury. Like there are some, you know, there's debate whether vaccinations can cause problems. And I think they can. And there is mercury in all of them as a preservative, but it's mercury plus, I think, I don't know if it's lead, it was something else that recently they said majorly potentiates the effects on the immune system and on the nervous system of mercury. So you can have a tiny amount that maybe is in the safe range. I mean, you know, they you probably didn't grow up with mercury thermometers, but when I was growing up, there were. And you weren't supposed to, like, break them open and play with it. I mean, people always want to play with it because it's so cool. It's like this little thing that goes around your hand. But, and there was one of my patients who had Parkinson's, who was developing other aspects of dementia, who grew up in Germany. They played with batteries. They played with thermometers. He worked in an asbestos factory. I mean, and then there were all these volatile chemicals he used to clean parts. So if you could have a chemical assault, he must have had every single one of them.
Right.
You know, what serially imagine. From childhood through all his career. So when you go home and you talk about these chemicals with your family, what did they say?
I mean, I get a lot of the, you know, oh, you know, you go to Berkeley, you know, wait till you get, you know, you're kind of telling your family how they should be living and thinking. And I don't want to come across as being, you know, preachy when I'm like, Mom, like, don't buy, you know, inorganic tomatoes in winter. Like, you know, they're dyed red, whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And she is kind of like, can you not tell me what to do? You know, liberal hippie, a little bit. But I think, you know, my family's pretty receptive to it. I remember we went to a talk when I was in middle school about chemicals in household and care products, and my mom went through the house and threw out everything in the house and went to the Whole Foods or something and bought all organic cleaners.
Good for her.
So
it impacted her, and so it should impact you because...
Right, but we have never thought about the fact that some of those chemicals that we are all you know, exposed to often are linked to my dad getting sick. And I never even thought about this till right now, but he was in the lighting business, so, you know, he did a lot of glass blowing and stuff, and I don't know if there are chemicals associated with that that could have been exposed to.
He did glass blowing?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he was a lighting designer. So, yeah, I don't know, But it's definitely, we've had, you know, theories from, you know, he got struck by lightning when he was 18 and maybe that turned on some gene.
Did he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To, you know, stress, to, you know.
I think all those have an impact. And so from like the, so both of you are involved in this program, Active for Alzheimer's, and you have a scholarship program that is for Cal students.
Yes.
To study more about Alzheimer's, is that?
We're looking to fund a research scholarship. Mm-hmm. So we have, from our event, we've raised a little over $1,000, but nationwide, partnering with the Youth Movement Against Alzheimer's, we're hoping to raise $50,000 nationally. And then that would fund 50 different scholarships. And it's research scholarships. So people will be working in a laboratory setting, you know, very hands-on, and you know, looking for these telltale signs, the cure, looking and into the future for that. And so, and we want the scholarship to be for Berkeley students, undergraduate Berkeley students in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So when is that going to start? When is the scholarship going to start? Next year.
Yeah, yeah. So right now we're working with the youth movement. Their founding chapters in UCLA, so we're just on the phone with them.
Oh, okay. My daughter goes to UCLA.
Oh,
hello.
My sister's a junior.
Oh, your sister, yeah? Yeah.
You should ask her to check out the youth movement.
All right. Well, she's in Madrid right now, but okay. She gets back. Cool. Yeah.
They're a great organization. They just started this year and reached out to us, and my sister actually connected me with their president because she joined when she got there.
So, oh.
You know, Alzheimer's United. Yeah. And so together there's between 15 and 20 chapters. We're trying to fundraise to send 50 different undergraduate students across the country into Alzheimer's research, and we're trying to get, you know, people more exposed to thinking about Alzheimer's and thinking about finding a cure and recognizing this as the you know, enormous healthcare problem that it is, and also setting up undergraduates for a future career in Alzheimer's, because I think a lot of the times when you start out with doing one kind of research, you will end up, you know, continuing doing that type of research. And there's not a lot of opportunities, especially for undergrads, to do paid research, as Marie could probably tell you,
right,
from
yeah,
being in the science,
yeah,
science field. They're very coveted positions. So
you're doing it right now?
No, I'm not currently doing it, but it is very hard as an undergraduate to get a position doing research in a lab. And so we want to incentivize that. We want to get more people involved. And then what we're hoping to do with the Youth Movement Against Alzheimer's is compile a journal of everyone who's gotten the scholarship and is doing research and their findings, what they're, you know, looking forward to, what they found, and compile that and kind of create a national youth research journal for everyone who's gotten the scholarship.
So you're both, if you could each get the scholarship, would you?
Yeah. Well, I'm an econ major. So I probably am going to be working in a different type of field, but I hope to continue doing Alzheimer's advocacy after I graduate.
And what kind of research would you do?
I would do the scholarship.
But do you already have an idea of what you would want to do as far as the research idea?
For Alzheimer's research?
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure. We're kind of, Tierney and I have been working towards connecting with labs in the Bay Area to kind of get a feel for what each lab is doing and kind of where their research is focused. And so another step that we need to take really to implement the scholarship is to talk to more labs in the Bay Area that we can connect Cal students directly to and kind of explore their research from there.
So what kind of labs are you talking to?
So there's
Genentech, places like that, or
right. Well, we're looking to connect more with Genentech, and UCSF has a pretty extensive aging and Institute on Health and Aging, and they do a lot with Alzheimer's, and we use them as a pretty significant resource when my dad was getting sick. We don't know as of now whether or not they would be open to taking undergraduates or whether or not they already do. So that's kind of our next step.
Mm-hmm.
There's one research, I guess, lab. Right. Yeah, I guess one research lab at Berkeley that does Alzheimer's research. It's not clinical.
It's like neuroimaging.
Yeah, neuroimaging called the Jagus Lab. And
that's the one related to music Sound or?
No.
Is that not? Okay.
That's, we had Julian Johnson from UCSF come speak at the event on, music and its effects on cognitive health and aging.
So if our listening audience was interested in helping to fund these projects that you're doing, how do they get in touch with you?
So on the youthmovement.org's website, there's a...
So it's actually the youth movement? Or is what is it? Spell it out for people.
So www.theyouthmovement.org.
D or T-H-E?
T-H-E.
Y-O-U-T-H?
Yes.
The youth. Movement.
Okay. M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T. Yeah. Right. And there's a link that you can donate to the scholarship fund GoFundMe page.
All right.
I can also write it down, the exact URL for you.
Sure. I'll put it on the website
and,
on the podcast.
We would also be very interested in connecting with more people in the Bay Area that are working towards in any facet of the Alzheimer's cause that would be interested in meeting with or using the skills and energy of undergraduates at Berkeley.
That's great. So how, so if someone's listening and they thought, wow, you guys are fantastic. They should be thinking that you're fantastic. If once they hear that and they go, wow, I think we have a project or something, so they just contact you through the same website, or is there some phone number that will exist for the next few years or something? Or,
you can send us an email.
Or something? An email?
Our email address for our club is afaberkeley@gmail.com. And we would be very open to talking to anyone in the Bay Area that would like to connect with undergraduates interested in Alzheimer's research and care.
Fantastic. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Great learning experience for me. And I'm sure the audience, the millions of people watching and listening to this podcast will also be interested. Thank you for all the great work you're doing and helping everyone in this country and the world.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. J.
To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.